Yeah, so since this class is based on the Oakland campus being sold, mm-hmm. what's your relationship with the Oakland campus?
So when I first toured the Oakland campus, when I was like a high school senior, like deciding about where to go to college, so I had grown up going to school in like small private schools and like uh-huh. mostly religious schools. Do you need to plug in?
Yeah.
Anything? Okay. I'll wait for you. Don't worry.
No, you can continue talking.
Okay, okay.
This extends.
I have gone to like small religious private schools where the community was really intimate and very caring.
Mm. Not only because it was religious, but because you basically knew everyone and their life stories. It's like very young for many years. Mm-hmm. And so for me, when it came to deciding college, I was trying to see where it fit, but also within like,
I'll just sit up there. Sorry. I'm trying to compare this instead. So wait, start again? So your relationship with Oakland campus.
So yeah, when I decided to go to CCA, it was largely because of the Oakland campus. It reminded me a lot about like the small community.
Uh-huh.
I loved going to religious private school. Like, I knew each other, and it was like mm-hmm. really welcoming. And just very homey. And so when I saw the Oakland campus, like with its nature, and like a very, not only is it like a relaxed vibe, but there's so much history cultivated on the campus. Like, we can embrace our mistakes and, like, learn how to move forward and, like, find our voices creatively, which is what I needed having gone to private schools where parents were, like, very limited due to, like, limited funding that private schools do get, especially religious ones,
mm-hmm.
and where art was mostly just, like, still lifes and make pretty pictures about hipsters and flowers and, you know, just very kitschy topics. And then, like, seeing the work at CCA was, like, these are people who are doing not only what they want to do, but like they're just making like insanely cool work. So I was like, yeah, I'm fucking going to CCA.
Mm-hmm.
So
like yeah. meaningful work.
Yeah, meaningful work, like using what drives them to like be artists,
mm-hmm.
honing that passion into like what they want to say.
Yeah.
About like the world, not only themselves, but like the world or like what they care about. So that's like what I really wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
So,
On a scale of 1 to 10. How well do you think CCA promotes diversity? The admit, like, CCA as the school, not as the community.
As a school, I would say probably a 2. Mm-hmm. Maybe even a 1, if we're being honest. Because, like, it's just highly limited. Like, you go to campus, you know, without looking at any advertisements or, mm-hmm. no, like, you know, just not even knowing what CCA is. And you see diverse people, like not only do you have international students, you have students, you have Black students, you have Asian students, you have Latinx students, you have a large community of diverse students who are present, and even mixed students of like, you know, mixed backgrounds and things like that. And of course there is a majority that are white,
mm-hmm.
but you look at the photos, you know, that they do post and document, mm-hmm. and they choose ethnically ambiguous people,
mm-hmm.
or they choose largely white people, or maybe the one token Hispanic or the one token Black person that they use for all the photos. So,
yeah.
And like, I, leaving my high school, I saw that they only chose ethnically ambiguous girls, haven't gone to all girls school, ethnically ambiguous girls to promote the diversity at that school. So, yeah. So having seen CCA and how they promote diversity, it's mm-hmm. like, yeah, we have all these cool courses in diversity studies, but they're not talked about unless you're in that course,
mm-hmm.
or you see these diverse people, and mm-hmm. like, you know, like maybe a few of them are like highly promoted within like, you know, honors galleries and, you know, things like that, but you see a large majority of people, or, you know, students who like maybe do good work too, but like just are not seen in those spaces. It's mm-hmm. just like a few of them to like probably even out the questions of like, where are students of color? But even then I could be wrong. So
yeah.
It just depends.
For sure.
Yeah.
Do you think that CCA provides enough diversity through like their clubs or events and such like that? Like, do you think that they should celebrate diversity more? Like, need to provide more opportunities like that for people to come together?
I feel like the ones that are paving that way, especially being the out of cards for having that ultimate like celebration of people's different backgrounds and everything, are clubs like CCA China or CCA Korea, you know, the International Student Associations where majority of like Korean, Japanese, Chinese students are congregating, as well as Students of Color Coalition. I myself am a part of CCA Manos Abiertas, which is our Latinx association that just started, popped up maybe like 2 years ago, I want to say. And we came as a community seeing that we do have a group of students who are not only curious about Latinx culture, but are Latinx themselves, or like mixed background, or speak Spanish, you know, like diverse people coming together. And then we created this need of like, we should have our own representation too. With my personal thing was that I wanted to join Students of Color Coalition. However, I myself didn't feel like I would be welcomed in that space because I'm a white passing Latino or light skinned Latino. And because that space, more often than not, is a space to like come together and vent frustrations about what's going on and, you know, form resistance through being angry about topics or, you know, venting that frustration to positive change. My personal mission is just do positive change through education and through like, you know, coming together as a community.
Like awareness?
Yeah, well, not only awareness, but like even just like, hey, come to our meeting if you want to learn how to play loteria, right? Which is like the Mexican version of bingo. Like, my approach is more like, I'd be more than happy to like sit down with you and like, you know, share my culture even through food or just hanging out or even going to a cool event that like talks about my culture, rather than getting mad at you being like, how dare you for not knowing about my culture? Well, it's like, that's not open to you.
Yeah.
If you're not a part of it, right? It's like, why be a gatekeeper about my culture if like I can pave change to be essentially the gate opener and just like educate people? So really the one, what I see within CCA campus or like CCA student events, like, yeah, we have these cool events like Halloween dance and like karaoke or like, you know, like those free food events. But I think there should be some, and I know a lot of people try to be, you know, respectful enough that they don't include like religious things or cultural things, but it's like there is a craving to have those things and just like have them all up. I mean, like CCA China has their, I think it's like Moon Harvest Festival,
yeah.
Right? So they have theirs, but like, you know, students who don't know what that is won't go to it.
Yeah, like, it's all the way in SF too.
Yeah, or like if CCA Manos Abiertas decided to have a Day of the Dead meal or celebration and like, the curator alters, but like, let's say the poster was in Spanish, well, more than half of the CCA population would be able to read it. So it's like, it's not saying that our own associations need to like be welcome, be like accepting or like be more palatable to the community, but like the community should try to promote more about what these groups are already doing and try to make their own events and do that. So like, I know like, for example, Christmas could be like a touchy one because not everyone is religious or whatever, like has different religions. But we have an event, let's say, where we celebrate winter traditions or traditions from each other's cultures or religions that do take place during the fall and winter. That would be a place of discussion and learning those diverse perspectives. So I think there just needs to be a need to, like, you know, recognize, like, hey, everyone has something special about them, but in terms of like tradition or culture or whatever, but like, CCA campus needs to start embracing that more and like see how that not only impacts, you know, people of that culture, but like other people from different cultures and how that impacts their art, better world perspective, essentially.
Yeah, do you think it's the student like groups that need to do more of those, or do you think CCA as like an administration needs to?
I think it's a conversation between both. Really. Like, CCA student groups, for example, will have no idea that there's a craving for that unless student groups speak up and speak the truth, and vice versa. So it's like, yeah, it'd be cool to have an event with like free pizza, but what about an event with like free, let's say like not to be like stereotypical, but free tacos for Mexican Independence Day, for example, or like this Latin American country's Independence Day. Like having those kinds of events, even though not saying that it should be celebrated, like for every little thing, and like be totally like obsessive about it, but like just having those events and promote it, and like having just as big as like Waffle Wednesday would be really cool to have. So especially even like during times where like, you know, with foreign affairs and everything like that, if we have an event that not only spotlights but like uplifts that culture, like a lot of our Middle Eastern and Arabic students, mm-hmm. like have an event for them, yeah. too, especially with all that's coming up with like Saudi Arabia and like U.S. involvement, that would be a great way to like uplift that community, especially when at a time like they could feel like they're targeted. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I feel like it's more of a conversation and seeing like how they can come together to just add more like tastier events. Like I think that's what people crave. Mm-hmm. Like free food is cool, but it gets repetitive, it gets boring after a time. Mm-hmm. Right, and like they're trying to change it up, but like what's good of a Halloween dance if people are working or like doing their projects? It's like that's not gonna be good. That's like high school in my opinion. Like there needs to be something more. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so I feel like CCA associations are doing a good job of like how to appeal to their immediate members, but there needs to be some kind of forum where everyone can be in conversation to each other and like pitching ideas of just how to make these events more likely. And like, mm-hmm. like just maybe even just as big as Palooza, like something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
So you're a woman of color.
Yes.
At this school. How do you feel about the lack, or if you agree or not, the lack of women of color faculty at CCA? Do you wish there were more? Do you wish that, yeah, well, how do you feel about
it? Yeah, I wish there was more. I wish, but it also depends on the department. For example, for being an animation major,
yeah,
it's largely men. And largely, you know, cis men or, like, you know, white men or even men of color. Like, I've had my first, Latino professor, like, last year. Mm-hmm. But it was kind of shocking to have it be, like, I've gone 3 years without having, you know, a person of not only my own culture, but, like, a person of color. And then it's when I'm a junior. Mm-hmm. It's, like, I feel like there needs to be more for women, definitely. I feel like there needs to be more positions that uplift them. And definitely have more diversity. And just like how their teaching like informs us as well, like with what they care about, because with their experiences they find that within their curriculum. And that totally can impact like how you learn as well. So I feel like there is a need and there's a craving for it. And I just feel that we also, because like a lot of students talk about how their favorite professor is like X, Y, and Z, but X, Y, and Z may be all men.
Yeah,
but it's like, where are the women? Like, they're still there. You see them in A2, you see them on campus printing, like, you talk to them when you see them, because, like, mm-hmm. you've had them before. But it's also really easy to just go by a whole semester with, like, 5 classes and all of them are men, or, like, 5 classes and maybe 1 or 2 of them may be women.
Mm-hmm. So. Do you think that since there's the majority is men,
yeah.
do you think that impacts your artwork? In those classes, do you think it, like, takes effect on your ideas?
I say yes and no. In terms of ideas, let's say I want to talk about something that impacts my own identity, like being a Latinx woman, mm-hmm. it will be hard for them to think, especially if one, they're not a woman, or mm-hmm. one, they're not Latinx, or speak another language. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to making work about that, yes, it's hard, but it's also in terms of how that male professor may treat you, depending on his personal views of women. So, like, I think it's a 50-50, it's like a catch, I think it's called catch 22 when you say that, it's mm-hmm. just, like, it swings either way. Like, it could be a really great experience, and you can be best buddies, whatever, and other times it's like, fuck you, because you degrade my work. Mm-hmm. And I see you're like giving probably 20% more credit to this person because they're male. Mm-hmm. Like we're in the same class standing, in the same major, in the same class.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I feel it just, honestly, it just depends on personal, in terms of my own experience, I would say I've had, fortunately, a good experience with my male professors. Mm-hmm. And like I've never felt like belittled or my work was made to see him just because he didn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I've had good fortune in that, that my work was still lifted just as much as my male peers.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it could totally be different for like my, you know, fellow female student at CCA. Who she or they may have had a different experience entirely.
Mm-hmm.
So it really just depends. It depends on like your own CCA experience with teachers.
Mm-hmm.
So, but fortunately, you've had like the good luck of like not having a hard time with them. So yeah.
Are you aware of the amount of women of color artists that came out of CCA or like important? Mm-hmm. Not important, but like, yeah, are you aware of like the history, diverse history of CCA?
Not really.
Do you wish that you were more aware?
Or definitely. Like, yeah. I feel like even just CCA legacy. Like,
mm-hmm.
I went to the home exhibition for CCA's diversity studies last semester. It just totally opened my eyes and just how involved not only CCA students were at the time, but like just our own personal history.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as a school and as a school community. And I feel like, yeah, I want to learn that. I want to, like, see what other, you know, alumna, like, people, essentially pioneers before me have done
mm-hmm.
with their work and not only with their experience. Like, I feel like I hear more from alumni who are men rather than women.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, and if you're a woman, it's like you really have to, like, seek them out and see what they actually go to CC and just keep in touch with them. Like Tasha Sage, who I believe she was a printmaking major, I like met at a craft fair and she does like awesome work. And like
mm-hmm.
she actually curated for the Color Factory, that museum.
Uh-huh.
And she does like really cool work all about the color and just like awesome work. And so for me, for the alumni I do follow their women, it's like I had to like either seek them out or like I came for a lecture.
Like nobody helps
like,
you.
Kept tabs with them, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, yeah, it's like, it's just they're not talked about, and the ones that are celebrated are like men, and they're just like randomly spotlighted, and like the many CCA emails you get in a day, and like you get so overwhelmed with like what you're also doing and with the amount of emails that like just, when you get tired of finding it or like searching for it, so
mm-hmm.
it's hard. I feel like we even just need like a magazine that just looks at alumni.
Yeah.
To see what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
What else? So CCA is—they promote that they are very diverse.
Mm-hmm.
You may have answers, but do you think they match that? Do you think they hold up, or do you think that it's kind of like false advertisement?
It's not that it's false advertising. It's more like their actual visual advertising is pretty lacking
mm-hmm.
because. What I've seen, especially like on the streets of San Francisco with those like lamppost banners.
Yes.
A lot of students of color that are exhibited, one, have not been able to afford continuing their education at CCA because
mm-hmm.
of the lack of financial aid or their situation, you know? Or two, they graduated years ago and they are still being advertised as currently going to that school. So it's like, where are the current students of color?
Mm-hmm.
And the visual representation lacks, the visual representation online if you're outside of the CCA sphere lacks what you're actually experiencing when you go to the campus and you see the students and you meet with them and you talk with them. It's just totally different.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like they just need to up their game more. And like I get it that they're trying to appeal to like getting students and it's all about a price tag and like whatever capitalism kind of thing you're going for. I get it, but like at the same time, if you're going to appeal to students who crave a community amongst peers of not only students of color, but students, you know, of completely
mm-hmm.
different background
mm-hmm.
than just like a majority, you need to match that with
mm-hmm.
how you're presenting yourself to the world. And it's just like you're making CCA seem like a black and white design school. In reality, it's a school of like diverse opinions and like practices and everything like that, and people come together and celebrate each other. And like, your visual representation is lacking because you're saying, we're a design school. There's one black kid in this photo of architecture students. There's more people. There's a lot of Middle Eastern and Arab people. There's a lot of, you know, East Asian.
Yeah, it's pretty diverse in every single major.
Exactly. So it's like, where
were those people?
I had to add more people in. Like, I'm in a class right now where my best friend is the only white, well, my best friend and another guy are the only white people in that class. I bet you $50 that class would not be photographed for CCA's promotion.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like,
yeah,
it's a weird thing. And I think it's either they have to find people who are willing to like do that,
mm-hmm.
and maybe not get a photographer who's only gonna subconsciously not realize that. Well, consciously not realize, subconsciously choose that they're only choosing white students and maybe one or two students of color within their photos. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I think there just needs to be a real matchup with, like, right now they're like barely any bark, and then you go to school and they're all white, and you're like, well, where was this when you were talking about it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you caught me off to the side, so I'm expecting, oh, I'll see like maybe 50 students within a community of 2,500, and now there's like vast, vast majority.
Yeah, how do you feel about the, because I know they advertise more at SF than they do around the Oakland campus, which is the original
right.
campus.
Yeah.
Like, do you wish that there was some advertising like SF?
Yeah,
over here?
I feel like.
Because I know, like, I talk to locals, I don't know if you have, but
mm-hmm.
sometimes they don't notice that CCA's right there.
Yeah, a lot of people don't even know there's an art school in the East Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, I doubt there will be changes for that because of the whole new campus shift and everything. But the fact that, like, CCA has been here forever in the East Bay and barely anyone knows about it is really
Since
sad.
Since the 20s.
Yeah. It's, like, it's really sad. And, like, there should be more. Like, I feel like we need to have just as much pride as Berkeley students who you see advertisements all around freaking East Bay. And when people be like, oh, you go to school in East Bay, people automatically assume you're talking about Berkeley. And you're like, no, I go to CCA. What is that? California College of the Arts? They're like, oh. And I'm like, in Rockridge? It's like, by the Safeway. Like, you have to literally pinpoint where you are at for people to be like, oh, right. And
yeah, it's literally like,
yeah,
on Broadway.
Yeah. So I feel, yeah, like there needs to be an equal respect towards Oakland campus. Honestly, Oakland campus, prettier campus. Fucking hate SF campus.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and that's just because of the way they treat it. They're treating it like, you know, a design firm that's very modern, it's very like looking towards the future. Okay, where's your plants? Where's,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you're gonna make it unified and have it freaking unified, like, where's the plants? Where's like the facilities for craft majors to actually be craft majors and like hone in their practice? Where's, you know, the nice open space where people can congregate, like, you know, a tight-knit family or a tight-knit group,
mm-hmm.
and enjoy that space? Like, Oakland campus, I feel like, is more known for, like, people hanging outside, having a picnic, or just eating lunch together, or, like, hanging out in Mackey. In the back lot in SF campus, or even in the nave, you don't see that.
Mm-hmm.
People are walking to and fro, and it's because of how they treat that space. That space is clean, there's no one hanging out, people are not going to hang out in it. Oakland campus, there's green, there's like benches, there's you know, all this art from like over the years, you know, people will treat that space like their home and they will go there all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a treatment of space too. It's like Oakland, you know, visibly more craft, it's craft because there's history.
Mm-hmm.
SF campus is treated as cold and it's because it's design, but like even though it's design and you have like, you know, even interaction design,
yeah,
where's the interaction? Everyone's and their devices
mm-hmm.
in the other room, not talking to each other, like not looking at each other, not seeing them face to face, and like being like, you're here, I'm here, we're here together.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I think that's one thing they really do need to carry over to SF campus in order to be a more unified school.
And I hope so too.
Yeah.
Because I know everyone's trying to pitch in ideas,
yeah.
be like, you need to take yeah. this and this and this.
Yeah.
How important do you value seeing women of color in the industry?
How important?
Mm-hmm.
Very important.
Yeah.
Having grown up being Mexican-Cuban
mm-hmm.
and also being of light complexion, it's hard. I've never found a role model to this day that actually fits who I am. Maybe Selma Hayek, but even then it's like,
mm-hmm.
who knows? Growing up, for example, there'll be Disney princesses or like heroines or even cartoons. Like, she looks like me. She's brunette. She's light skin. But she doesn't speak another language. She doesn't have this. Or, like, you know, she's Mexican. She's, you know, it's always Mexicans, rarely ever Cuban representation. But, like, she's Mexican. She speaks my language. She likes my favorite food. But she doesn't look like me.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, how do you marry that together and, like, actually have representation? I remember the first time I was reading some kind of magazine, like, you know, fashion magazine, like clothes or whatever. And I just happened to talk about this DJ, this girl, I've forgotten her name. I've tried looking her up, but it was the first time I ever read that someone was Cuban Mexican. And like just the power of like seeing just that representation was just like, it fucking matters. It really does. It's like, because you're trying to find, often you have this question like, do I even exist, right? Like, am I even real, like in this world? When you see someone of similar background to you, even just extremely similar, or extremely close background to you, that has power because it's like, oh, thank God I'm not the only one. And it's like, so it's hard when you don't have representation. It's like, well, what do I do? Like, I don't know how to present myself. Mm-hmm. People are challenging me with how I define myself. Like, they say mm-hmm. I don't look white, I don't look brown. How do I fight that? Mm-hmm. Right? And, like, you need someone else.
Who's been
there. Even if you don't know them. Even if they're, like, freaking famous or rich. You know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, completely out of, like, your communication sphere. You need someone in that world to, like, you know, like, she's doing it. I'm okay with doing this. Mm-hmm. Right? Or, like, you know, whatever. They, he, him, she. But, yeah. So, like, that's really important. So, I think... Yeah, industry is important. Like, I love the Women in Animation group, for example. Like, I think they're a really great group. There needs to be more. Like, where are the women of color in animation? Like, yeah, they're in those groups too, and like they're on social media and everything, but like, where are the films? Like, where's their work? Like, of course, we're in the US, where like, you know, the animation industry is largely dominated by like Disney and like DreamWorks, Pixar included. And of course, those films with, God, I've forgotten her name, but the director of Brave, her film was one of the first for Pixar to be directed by a woman.
Yeah.
And with the latest Pixar short film, Bao, that's the first short film to be directed by a woman.
Yeah, met her. But
yeah. She's great. So, no, yeah, super cool. Like, you know, those really do matter.
But there's
few. It's very few. It's very sparing. It's like they managed to break through the gate. Mm-hmm. And it's not that there's literally men or, like, you know, the dominant figure standing at these gates, is that, yeah, there may be people who are just as aggressive, it's like, no, you can't do that here, like, do that somewhere else. Mm-hmm. But there's some people who subconsciously enforce the gate and not realize that they're enforcing the gate. And so when actual representation that matters to you gets through it, like, means all the world. But, like, there needs to be better push mm-hmm. to, like, just spotlight these people. Like, they're doing just as important work as the ones that are accepted by dominant society. Mm-hmm. Why not talk about them? So, yeah, representation definitely matters, especially because when you don't have one growing up, it's like, well, how do you find it? How do you marry, you know, mm-hmm. your role models to, like, fit what you need? So yeah, it is a matter
identity.
Of
identity.
Yeah, it's a matter of survival, too. Like, representation really does matter.
Because you don't want to get to, like, 30 and be like, who am I, you know?
Yeah, it's like, you don't want to get to 30 and realize, oh, it's cool to be Cuban now. Great, let me just erase 30 years of suppressing it, right?
Because that takes time to erase.
Takes time, yeah. So.
Yeah. You should take the Race in Comics class, by the way.
Oh,
she does the whole thing about decolonizing education that we've learned in the past.
For sure, for sure.
But, yeah, I think that's really important, too.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that, like, majors, when they're hiring new faculty, do you think they should take diversity into account? Like, hiring more diverse?
They should.
Bunch of people?
Definitely. But I wouldn't say that should be the only... Not to say, like, oh, you're hiring this diverse person because it fits, you know, the checkbox or whatever. But you also have to look at, are they actually qualified? Like, okay, they, you know, they met the measure that they are a person of color.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Are they a competent educator? Are they going to push the students to excel beyond of what is required?
Mm-hmm.
You know, are they, now that you have, you know, a person of color, how does their character measure up to what you're looking for?
Mm-hmm.
So that's definitely an important thing. And it's like, not to say that gate keeps them from, you know, obtaining mm-hmm. these positions, but that definitely is a factor that just as much respect and, like, the level of seriousness that you're taking into hiring, you know, white people to, like, be professors, you have to have that with people of color. Yeah, they have different skin than you, cool, but can they teach? Do they know their stuff? So, like, you actually have to look into that and not just hire them because they fit a quota or something like that. Like, if they
like,
fit
do
a
you
quota...
Think that, sorry.
Yeah, no.
But do you think they should, like, be reaching out to find those people more? Do you think they're doing that?
I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I think a lot with what I've noticed at CCA, there's no communication between anyone. It's like, oh, you're on your own because I don't know what you're doing, so I'm not going to bother to learn. And being in a private school, again, small community, so they have to fend for themselves. And, like, you know, by fending for themselves, they have to come in as a community and know what the other is doing.
Mm-hmm.
CCA needs to be doing that, too. They need to know what other departments do and, like, how each operates. So that not only, yeah, like, you need to know where to direct the right direct someone to the right person to get help, but that you're able to, you know, have not only communication streamlined,
mm-hmm.
but just have that further impact of, like, a tighter knit community. So let's say you're reaching out to these people to, like, the same spheres you reached out to before. Well, expand it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's go. Like, expand it. Like, talk to a different department. Like, hey, have you heard of any more groups that we should look into to hire? Like, oh, yeah, maybe they have, like, 50 you never even heard of because you never bothered to talk with them.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like, you know, other departments probably know something that will benefit you. And it's just you're lazy to talk to them because they're not fitting what you actually do. For example, like... Yeah, student affairs.
Like, you put up that wall.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, maybe, I'm trying to think of, like, a far-reach one. Like, facilities and public safety are, like, very, you know, on opposite ends of the spectrum. Maybe, but maybe they both know something that benefits the other, and, like, they're depriving themselves of that because they don't talk to each other, for example. So it's, like, you know, there needs to be some kind of communication or just even, like, some, you know, we have technology. We can, like, just share this so easily. So why don't we have, you know, forums or, like, you know, places where, like, you know, people can post shit to, like, talk about and, like, be like, hey, this could benefit someone. Just putting it out there. So, yeah. And that's also, like, just looking out for, like, your neighbor, too. It's just like, hey, I know something. This might help. So.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so I'm a firm believer in that, especially because CC, it's, like, it just feels like you're out on your own and you occasionally find people that are like, no, like, oh, like, what are you talking about? Like, I'll do that for you. Or, like, you know, I got you or something like that. Like, I find it's a lot harder to find people like that, not only in terms of friends or, like, students, but just in terms of, like, how the departments or, like, how, you know, staff treats each other, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's just very, like, okay, you're on your own. Or, like, you've done the most you can for me that benefits me. Now I'm going to stop talking to you. Or, like, now I don't need you kind of thing. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, you're, like, eating during this.
Yeah, it's okay. Don't worry about it.
I was just about to say something. Do you have hope for CCA? Because we keep talking about this diverse community that CCA is trying to build and the lack thereof.
Yeah.
Do you think there's some hope in changing that in the future? Do you think CCA is capable of, you know, developing that kind of community that we're all in need for?
I think so. I definitely noticed a large improvement in just even terms of student body.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because I work in housing, so I deal largely with, like, the current freshman class coming in.
Mm-hmm.
There are literally 80% more Latinos in the freshman class than I've seen in my own freshman class.
Mm-hmm.
There were maybe 12 or 10 that I knew of within my own freshman class when I started my first year at CCA. I faced a lot of weird looks for being white and, like, Cuban and, like, whatever, and, like, speaking Spanish. And so did the other nine or 10 people that were with me in that class. Yeah, so, like, even now I see, like, 40 speak Spanish. It's amazing to me. Like, having grown up in San Diego, where, like, I grew up in a largely Spanish-speaking community, not only within my own family, but friends and family and everything like that, it just amazed me because those students will pave a difference in, like, what they each will go on to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that will greatly impact as well, like, the community as a whole. Like, not only do you now hear, like, you know, Mandarin or Cantonese or Korean being spoken, you're hearing Spanish and different dialects, you know, different accents and different cultures of Spanish being spoken, which is amazing to me. Before, I would get weird looks speaking Spanish on the phone on campus.
Really?
Yeah. It's just like, it's like, chill. Like, I'm on the phone. Like, it's not that different. Yeah, it's like, and, like, just double takes, too. It's, like, weird. It's like, well, someone's over there speaking Arabic on the phone. Like, you're looking at them just as weird. Like, I'm sorry we're not speaking, you know, a language. Like, you kind of tuned out because you're like, oh, I don't understand. And all of a sudden you're like, oh, interesting. Like, white girl speaking Spanish, what? And it's like, yeah. But I've gone in that most of my life, so it's whatever. But yeah, I think it does make a difference, especially when adults see a need for these students, especially the issues that they come across within their experience of CCA. That CCA will have to support them. So eventually, I feel like there will be an upheaval where a lot more numbers of diverse students will come in and will request support. And CC is going to have to meet that support in one way or another, even though they're probably going to give a lot more resistance to it.
Mm-hmm.
But if students do come together and do unite as a community to be like, hey, give us freaking support, like, we need it, like, you are our school, like, how are we going to learn if we're not supported? Mm-hmm. CC is going to have to give in. So, yeah, it's going to be a very slow upheaval, but I'm already, like, feeling very positive about the change just within the last 4 years of, like, within my own identity, yeah. How mm-hmm. many have just attended the school already, so.
Yeah. I hope that happens.
Yeah, I really do hope it happens.
How important do you value integrating your culture / heritage into your artwork?
Surprisingly, I never thought I would talk so much about my culture, but after realizing, just looking back on all the projects I've worked on either in humanities or studio, a lot of them have to do about my experience just being bicultural as a Latinx person.
Mm-hmm.
But again, this is probably just me, but I do them in a way that, you know, comes across as relatable or just, like, uses my culture to, like, tell a story that I feel like is human and not just, you know, Latinx or not just Mexican or not just Cuban. So I never thought of myself, like, totally enforcing or standing my ground that, yes, I'm a person of color. Like, you can't erase that for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I found that, like, because I faced a reason of questioning or kind of, like, harassment within my first 2 years of CCA, of just, like, students not putting two and two together that, yes, you can be completely a different physical appearance, but you can be a person of culture.
Mm-hmm.
And I benefited largely from white privilege. So now it's harder for, like, you know, Afro-Latinos or Asian-Latinos to face up too.
Mm-hmm.
But you do have to break the mold that not everyone will look Native Latino. It's like, you know, Latino is just a language and a culture, and, like, you can be a different race completely.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so I feel like it's definitely informed, like, how important my voice is as a person of color,
mm-hmm.
and how that can impact, like, even future generations, like, yeah, like, it's super important, even though you don't give it much thought, and, like, you just subconsciously do it, because, like, you grew up with that, like, that's
mm-hmm.
your personal experience, so in one way or another, excuse me, it's gonna come across in your work,
mm-hmm.
so,